Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in. Well, hello, Christy Lee here, and welcome to this episode of Grow Your Influence. Now, yes, I am introing this episode solo, but never fear, Juliette is just about to join us. I wanted to quickly jump in and let you know that this episode, as well as our next episode, are actually recordings from a recent interview I conducted with Juliette as part of New South Wales Small Business Month. You see, back in November in New South Wales, we celebrated Small Business Month, and as part of our Small Business Month celebrations, I invited a range of special guests to join me for a series of connection conversations. The theme for Small Business Month this year was Connect for Success. And as such, I held a series of connection conversations to discuss different ways we could connect with our people to help drive business success. And naturally, Juliette had to be my first guest. So in our connection conversation, we discussed how to leverage our leadership skills to connect with our teams to help drive business success. Now, in today's episode, you're going to hear the first part of that conversation. And today we're really focusing on different ways to connect with our teams to help drive business success. So we talk about the different levers, the different strategies available to us to help us connect with our teams to increase productivity, profitability, and make our businesses more successful. And in our next episode, you're going to hear a little more about how we can dive into our own innate leadership styles to help drive business success. But for today, without further ado, let's welcome Juliette back to the podcast. And here's the first part of our connection conversation. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our first in our series of connection conversations. Today, I'm joined by Juliette Robinson from Big Goals. Juliette, hello and welcome.
Christy Lee, hi. Thank you very much. Great to be here. I always love our conversations.
We've got some juicy stuff to talk about today too. For those that haven't met Juliette, we co-host a podcast called Grow Your Influence Together, and Juliette is a leadership expert. I'll get her to tell you a little bit more about what she does in a moment. But to frame up why we are joining you here live today, and we're going live in our Facebook group, over on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn. So wherever you're joining us from, welcome. It's great to have you here. So we are in November at this time, and in New South Wales, November is Small Business Month. And the theme for this year's Small Business Month is Connect for Success. And so as part of Small Business Month, I'm going to hold a series of conversations around connecting for success with a range of experts in their field. And this is our kickoff session today with Juliette, and we're focusing on connecting your team through great leadership to drive your business success. Before we dive in, let's let everyone know our backgrounds, Juliette, and why we are here to have this conversation. So tell us all a little bit about you and your business and your leadership expertise.
Sure. So I've been working with leaders and their teams for over 20 years now, and I specialise in helping leaders build their skills and their confidence to really carry their team forward. And I work in person with them. I also have an online group of business owners and managers, so people who connect online to support one another and to create a mastermind with one another to talk about the issues they're facing and also to build their skills, you know, to build that toolbox for leadership. So yeah, I'm just passionate about helping particularly small business owners and managers to really build their leadership skills, because I've worked with across, you know, large organizations and small, and I know that it's so much harder to get that skill development when you're in a small business. And you tend to be technically brilliant, but then you're handed a team of people, you have to build a team of people, and it can be so hard to bring them with you and keep them motivated. So that's really why I do what I do.
Excellent. Yeah, and leadership can be a lonely game. And we're going to talk a little bit later today about ways to combat that and how to get support around you with things like Juliet's mastermind group, because in small business, sometimes there's only one or two leaders. So it can be really challenging just to have no one there to bounce ideas off or to do a little sanity check with. So that's definitely going to form part of today's conversation as well. And those of you who don't know me, I'm a HR practitioner, a HR specialist, and I work specifically with small to medium-sized businesses on their HR. And from a HR perspective, it is really this simple. If you've got the right team and great leadership, you get business success, but you really do need both. And just like Juliet was just referencing, we can be great technically, and most of us are great at what we do when we get into our business, because we go into business because we love what we do or we see an opportunity. But leadership is often not our favorite thing. And no one that I know got into business for the love of building and managing teams and managing people and the leadership that comes with that. And it's something we do have to learn, and we do have to craft and get good at in order to achieve that business success. So from the HR space, I do work with business owners and their leadership teams on helping them to see their full potential in that space so that they can have the right teams. And sometimes stepping up into that leadership role is not my client's favorite thing to do. They have to step up and be the boss, and that can feel icky and hard. So so Juliet and I are both really passionate about supporting you to go on that leadership journey as well. So today we're talking about connecting your team through great leadership to drive business success. And there's so much really we could talk about, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is such a broad topic. Yeah. But I think it's worth talking about, you know, what does connection look like? Because I think teams are changing, aren't they? This whole COVID, even if you weren't locked down the way we were in Melbourne for months on end, has changed the shape of work for so many people. And I think people have decided that actually working from home is kind of nice, even if not all the time. So I think the hybrid and the virtual team models are here to stay. And I think connection in a team that's geographically all located in the same place versus a hybrid team is a very different thing, isn't it?
It really is. And I was just listening to a podcast this morning about this return to office pressure or transition that we are seeing happen, where businesses, some more than others, are really pushing for a much more in-person presence back in the workplace. And there's a great deal of resistance largely from employees. Yeah. And so how do you balance that juggle of having that resentment and having, you know, people possibly, you know, sometimes in the office, sometimes not in the office, maybe not a lot of consistency there either. That's sometimes, I think, an even bigger challenge when we're talking about connecting with our people, because what we saw when we went into that lockdown phase was we got really good at connecting in the virtual sense, and a lot of effort and energy was put into that. But coming out of that into this now much more hybrid model, I think that's even trickier, don't you?
I do, because now some people are back in the office and the sense of them and us has arisen, because people at home often feel like they're not part of conversations, which they're not. Because those little small conversations that happen around the office, you know, it's impossible to be part of that when you're working remotely. But also the people in the office often feel this sort of sense of, well, God, I'm dragging myself in here. Yeah. And you get to stay at home. So there has to be some kind of perk for me to do that.
Yeah.
So I think it's much harder. When we were all virtual, everybody was out. So everybody was on Zoom or Teams or whatever, and it was a common element, I think, of how we worked as a team. But now when you've got these different ways of working, and I know I've got a client where their hybrid model includes people coming into an office. It doesn't have to be the office. They can go to an office near their home, for instance. So if they've moved away out of Melbourne or Sydney or whatever, they can go to a regional office. Which is confusing again, because they don't necessarily know anybody in the regional office. They're being asked to go to an office, but they're not with their team.
And no, interesting. I failed to understand the point of that almost.
And I think people do fail to understand the point. But this is about leaders trying to work out how to connect their people back in to the team and the culture.
And that was an interesting point that I was hearing on this podcast was, yes, we want, you know, largely leaders want more people back in person, but also they're not really sure how to juggle the challenge of people just refusing or not being willing to. Yeah. And the studies are indicating that leaders aren't prepared at this point to take any kind of action, disciplinary or otherwise, against that particular workplace direction because they're just unsure how to navigate and juggle this particular period. And conversely, that would create challenge with the team members that are doing what they're being asked and are coming into the office. Yeah. And I've seen this recently with a business that I'm working with where they have been asking the team to come in 3 days a week. And there's resentment because some team members are doing it. Some team members are doing it because they actually really like it. They like being in the office. Yeah. And others are doing it purely because they're being asked. It is not their preference. And there's resentment building when particularly members of the leadership team aren't also doing what they're being asked. And it is creating a lot of stress and tension. Yeah. And the other thing that I'm seeing woven in with that is because businesses are trying to manage costs and manage the fact that they no longer need 85 seats, there's a lot of hot desking going on. And we know that hot desking is not most people's favorite thing. Most people really hate it. Yeah. So if you're going to be asked to come into an office and then you have to hot desk, that's even harder.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and it's harder to feel connected, isn't it?
Yes.
I think that's really tough. I was talking to someone the other day who works for a larger organization and they were about to be taken away for 2 days at a luxury kind of place out of Melbourne. With lots of, you know, they were having a black tie dinner and doing some fun things and a bit of personal development. But the trade-off was that from Monday, everybody's expected back in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was this sort of, okay, we're going to have a big party for you, but then we're going to say you have to come back. So I think everybody's trying to grapple with how to do that. It's really interesting you were saying, though, when leaders say you have to be back in the office and they don't do it themselves, why would anybody feel the need to do it? You know, I find that so difficult because we have to role model what we want.
Yes.
You know, if we say something and do something different, people are always going to go with what we do, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yes. Every single time. Yeah.
Yeah. And
if you're going to make that direction as the senior leader in the business, you have to keep your second layer of leadership accountable for fulfilling that obligation if you expect the junior staff underneath them to also feel that obligation. So it is super, super tricky. So we know when we've got in-person teams, we've got lots of ways that we can connect and they're very traditional ways. I mean, it's just been Melbourne Cup that, you know, even if you're not in Melbourne, I don't know a workplace that was particularly functional on Tuesday afternoon because everyone does going out for lunches or has something in the staff room or there's the suite or whatever. Yeah. So we've got those things baked in. You know, it was common that when we had all in-person teams, there might be a Friday lunch or a particular team would go for coffee on a certain morning.
Yeah.
Those kind of rituals, and that's really what they are, they're workplace rituals, they help us weave the fabric of the culture because they're kind of helps people to really connect with their, you know, this is who we are, I'm part of something bigger.
Yeah.
And then when we went totally virtual, we for about 6 months, I think, we went all in and everyone was doing, you know, all that. It's this hybrid that's really tricky, isn't it? Like, what are some things we can be doing to connect teams that aren't, that are hybrid? Some people are in, some people aren't. Some people are in part-time. What sort of things are you seeing working well for that connection?
Well, I think everyone's grappling with trying to find something that does work well. What they're finding, what I'm hearing from teams that I work with is that things like going out as a team doesn't work anymore because almost inevitably there are people who are not there.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up going out as half the team or, you know, missing three crucial people or whatever. And so there's not a sense of we as a team doing it all together because of this hybrid model. I know a couple of teams who actually say you need to come in on this day. You know, or you need to come in for this event. So they're really trying to get them together, at least for something, and get everybody together. But I think this is the real dilemma because even when you do things in the office, and I had a team the other day who was doing a Melbourne Cup thing in the office, and they were kind of having everybody else who was at home on Zoom. But if you're on Zoom, that doesn't work. How do you feel part of that thing? Now, obviously, you're making a choice to stay at home.
Mm.
So, or for whatever reason, your life is now, you know, functioning in that way. But it does make it really difficult, I think, for leaders to build connection across the team. Mm. And I think what I'm seeing is that still, you know, we're now almost a year into this, you know, people back at work, potentially in this hybrid model. I'm still seeing people who go into the office to get onto Zoom meetings.
Yes. And that was, I guess, something that a lot of people were talking about trying to make it work for those at home or those working remotely first, rather than being focused on in office, because there was much more likelihood you're going to have disadvantage if you were focused on, if you're here, we're going to work it for you and everyone else just has to dial in somehow. So there was that focus of just make it consistent so it would be exactly the same. But then what's the point in coming in to the office unless unless people want to be there? And look, for some people, they do. They want to be in the office. They work from home, doesn't work for them. They love the social connection, for example. Yeah. But I know, you know, this team that I'm working with at the moment, some of the team love the social stuff, but the comments from others are that they're constantly distracted. They can't get their work done because of all the office chatter that goes on. So you've really got to balance it. And I think partly just being very conscious about the point of the type of connection you're trying to create. What is the outcome that you're trying to achieve? Because making people come in or attend something for the sake of it is never going to give you a result.
I think that's so true. And in fact, a client I was working with a few months ago was sort of playing around with how to make this work. And what we talked about, and I was working with them on how to kind of create this connection, what we talked about was that coming to the office actually looks different, particularly for leaders. So when you come into the office now, you don't just sit at your desk and work away all day. Your job as the leader is to be connecting with your people, is to actually make sure that their time in the office is spent having conversations with you and with others in the team. So now when you bring people into the office, if they're not coming in 5 days a week and if the whole team is not in there, when they do come in, if that is about creating connection. And the hope is that when you start doing that, others who are working at home see some benefit in that and choose to come in, even if it's only 1 or 2 days a week, to be part of that connection. But I agree, if you're bringing everybody back and you're all just sitting in cubicles or at hot desks and doing what you could do at home, there's no point. So really using that time in the office to create connection, I think, is a really important part of helping people transition back. Because there's no doubt there's some anxiety as well. I agree, there's lots of people who love the energy of an office and who are desperate for it to get back to some kind of normal, and, you know, who are trying to organise morning teas and just wanting to be around people. But there are plenty of people who are still looking at it sort of saying, why would I want to go and spend time in a closed environment with people? I don't know where they've been, you know, there's all this stuff around.
Yeah, and it's convenience, you know, if I don't have to spend half an hour or an hour traveling to that location, you know, it's that lifestyle time that everyone got gifted that, of course, they don't want to give up. I totally appreciate that. But I think that having that intention to create connection is really important. And I think there's no doubt that, particularly depending on what type of business you've got, if you're wanting to create collaboration, knowledge sharing, those kind of environments, being in person just helps. So there is definitely benefit. And, you know, I'm thinking of teams where you maybe have juniors or interns in the team. They need to be around senior staff and observing and just soaking it in, which you can't do on Zoom. So
I think that's been one of the biggest challenges, isn't it? Bringing new people into a team and getting them connected with the team. You know, I think that is such an important point. And when you're all virtual, that was so difficult because, you know, and you talked earlier about traditions, you know, these traditions of morning teas or Melbourne Cup lunches or whatever. Teams have them. And if you're all remote, that's really difficult for people to engage with and to understand the culture of the team. So, I think that is one of the most difficult aspects of connection if everybody's working remotely.
Yeah.
And so bringing those people in at the very least is so important.
Yeah. And I think if you're going to create that environment where collaboration is important and having that opportunity, as a leader, you need to be able to communicate to the team what's the value, what's in it for them, what are they getting out of this? Exactly. And if you can find a way to align what you need to happen from a business perspective with something that is beneficial to the individual, and that could be different for all of them, you're going to have much better buy-in. And if that means everyone in on one particular day so that you can create the opportunity for connection and collaboration and all those things, sell it into them. Make it really clear what they're going to get out of this.
Yeah, and I think it's so important not to just say we're doing it because that's what we did before, you know, and we're going back to normal, because normal has shifted so much, hasn't it?
Yeah. And you and I have spoken about this before. We were always going to find ourselves in this hybrid work situation. Mm-hmm. COVID just shot us forward 20 years because it was going to take that long with the resistance of the workplaces. So this was an inevitable way that workplaces were always going to change.
Yeah.
It's just like the change in measuring hours to measuring productivity and output that we are now seeing many businesses move towards. These are natural changes that we were always going to see. Yeah. It just got fast-tracked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
And so, I think our understanding of how to deal with it hasn't kept up.
That's true. We've had to really take a crash course, I think, in many ways. And it's been tricky. And I think a lot of it has been trial and error. A lot of it has been looking at what other people are doing and saying, oh, we can try that, or trialing things that didn't work and just starting again. So I think that's definitely very true. So I think, you know, connection can look different for every business, and I think that's totally okay, don't you?
Totally, absolutely. And I think that's inevitable that it will look different for everyone. And I think it will look different for every leader as well.
Yeah.
Because we all lead, you know, based around our personal preferences. But I think the challenge is for leaders is this, you know, communicating with your team. And I think that's a really, you know, that's part of the critical thing, is that this is not the old normal. The new normal means you actually have to talk about how we work. In the olden days, everyone just came to work, and, well, even the olden days, pre-COVID, 2 years ago, people just came to work, did their work and went home. Now, because of this need to connect people who are working in a whole lot of different ways, I think we need to talk a whole lot more about how we work as a team.
Yeah, and we need to talk about why we're doing things, what's important to us, how it all ties back into the end goal. Yeah. Because, I mean, I think that's a fundamental that hasn't changed. Great leadership requires great communication, but and communication is listening as much as anything else.
Okay.
But if we aren't communicating, then we've got no chance of our team connecting to help us drive the business forward. We'll just be we could have a team of greats and they might be all doing great work, but if they're not connected because we haven't cast that vision or we haven't communicated why this project is so important, then it's never going to get that gel that we really need.
That's right. And then what you end up with is a whole lot of individuals around the place working on things, but they're not working as a team.
No.
And that will definitely have an impact on business success. We know that without a doubt.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a couple of different angles here. We need to figure out how to connect with all of our team members, no matter how they're working. And we also need to figure out how to connect them with each other so that you've got a cohesive and engaged team, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's that sort of leadership to the team and back up.
Yes.
But then the team with one another as well. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And
both
of them are equally important. You know, we can be connected with the individuals in the team, but if the team are not connected with one another, we're still not going to make any headway.
And that's a different beast. That's a different type of challenge, I think. And this is where you can really get your team engaged and involved in how they want to connect with each other and how that can look and work. You know, in a few weeks I'm running a strategy session with a business, and that's part of what we're going to be covering, because they've got team members who are very vocal about what's important to them and what information they feel like they're not getting, which is really challenging for them because for our team, if they feel like they're out of the loop or they're not aware or, you know, any of those things, really hard. And to get a little bit into the stats of it all, what we know is that an engaged team, so a whole team of people who are engaged in their roles, in the business, they're invested psychologically, it drives productivity 17% is what the current stats are showing us, which can have an end result of a profitability bump of up to 21%. So
it's amazing, isn't it?
I mean, who wouldn't want a 20% profitability bump for a pretty simple thing of just getting your team connected and engaged?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, and these things are doable. You know, and when you talk about that, you know, when we're talking about getting a 21% profitability bump from things like communicating effectively.
Yep.
You know, getting our people connected. Yes. I mean, as you say, who doesn't want that?
Yeah. And it's not expensive, it's not hard, and it's not time consuming.
Yes. Yeah. But it does take self-awareness for a leader. It does take the awareness of what's going on and that ability to connect with your people to understand what's going on for them. And I think it's interesting when you say, you know, people are very vocal and they talk about what they need now. And I think that has shifted a lot in the last few years too.
That's true. Yeah.
I think, you know, there was a time when people just said, well, I just got to suck it up sort of thing.
Yeah.
And people don't do that as much anymore. There's much more of an attitude of actually this has to work for me too.
Yes. And I think that's partly generational. I'm definitely seeing younger generations being far more confident to voice what is important to them. And I think that's great. Yeah. But it's not just generational. It has shifted. You know, we're seeing people who were previously on a particular career trajectory because that's the way it had always been done, making different decisions now and deciding, you know, I've noticed recently a lot of people deciding actually not to go into leadership roles and to stay in technical and clinical roles because that's what they enjoy. Yeah. And, you know, prior they had thought the only way to continue in their career was to take that next step, and they're making different decisions about how they're going to fulfill that career satisfaction now. So and they're very happy to quite vocally, you know, voice that. So that has been actually quite a monumental shift, I think, in terms of employee psychology.
I think also, though, I remember working with an organisation back in the early 2000s, and that whole idea that people could stay as a technical specialist as a career choice and not take on a team was such a new thing. And I think organisations are coming to grips with this idea now too, much more, that the peak of leadership is not necessarily having a team. You can be a technical leader and inspire people around you, but you don't need to lead people.
That's right.
You know? And as a technical specialist, maybe you're not the right person to be leading people. And, you know, I think we've both seen examples where people who've been brilliantly technical have a team and become very disillusioned with the whole thing and demoralised by their inability to lead people.
Yeah.
So I love that people are choosing that and that it's possible to choose.
Exactly.
Specialist stream and not to take on the people thing.
Yeah, and being that technical lead means your knowledge sharing capability with the team and all the other things is heightened because you're not having to focus on the stuff you don't want to be doing. So I think it creates really great opportunity. So before we sort of move on to chatting about our own leadership skills and tapping into our innate leadership, I just want to sort of close the loop here in terms of what we've been chatting about so far, which is the importance of connecting with our people in this new world of work, whether they be hybrid, virtual teams, in person, or a total combination, and the importance of us as leaders connecting with them and being really intentional about the connection, I think. Yeah. And some of the ways we need to do that are about having a vision and really casting that vision for our team, and also getting, I guess, clear in our values as well, right?
Totally, because behaviours are a big part of making this work. We haven't had a chance to touch on that, but you know, we need to be really clear about the values and behaviours we expect from a team when everybody's not together.
Yeah, and I was having this conversation with a client just yesterday actually about we had one manager saying, yeah, but technically they're coming along really well, and another manager saying, but behaviourally we've got a whole range of issues going on. Mm. And I had to unpack for them that tolerating those behaviours was actually encouraging them to continue. Yeah. And that's a very slippery slope. So setting that vision, being really clear about what we're about and what the behaviours look like when we're being true to that is critical. And that all comes back to our communication as leaders.
Totally, yeah, I think so. And I think also a big part of this is working with the team. So talking with the team about how we work and what we're trying to achieve and giving them that ownership to deliver on that too. So making sure they know the expectation is that they'll work together and letting them work out what that looks like. Yeah. And definitely leading that discussion and that process. But they need to own how that's going to work.
Yep, they need to own that practicality sense and they need to be involved in that decision because they will therefore participate much more fully when they do that.
Absolutely.
So communication, vision, values, and getting the team involved in how they're going to connect so that you can get that engaged team and get those results we were talking about, I think is key there.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.